Welcome to In Dark Places. Gotta catch them all. So I've been on vacation this week and doing some junk around the house. I've got a boring life. I don't go anywhere on my vacations. Just kind of get caught up on all the work that I've been putting off for the past 6 months. So yesterday I was out patching up our porch. The porch was in pretty bad shape. It was about to fall down. You know, somebody's going to fall on that and get hurt. I was out there hammering around and pounding on nails and just getting dog tired, getting too old for this junk. But Brandon saved the day. He came out and helped me, so that was good. I woke up a little sore today. Yeah, getting too old. Here's what's happening in the news this week.
I am Mr. Haunted, your In Dark News news correspondent, with some breaking news. But first, this episode is sponsored by Subway. You know, since 1943, Subway... Alright, hold on. Too much mayo. Subway customer arrested after shooting two employees, killing one over sandwich order. From Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta police are investigating a shooting that has left one woman dead and another in critical condition at a Metro Atlanta Subway store. The reason for the shooting? Too much mayonnaise on a sandwich, police said. Atlanta Police Department responded to a Circle K gas station at the intersection of Northside and Markham Street to calls after a shooting just after 6:30 p.m. When they arrived, they learned two female employees have been shot after a dispute about the amount of mayonnaise on a customer's Subway sandwich. Police said the woman who was killed was 26 years old. A 24-year-old employee was shot in front of her 5-year-old son and is now in critical condition. A relative told Channel 2's Tom Jones that it's not unusual. A relative told Channel 2's Tom Jones that the victim, Jada Statham, was hit twice after she pushed her son under the counter to keep him from being hurt. A co-owner of the Subway said that a third worker shot at the gunman. "He didn't hit the guy, but he put up a little fight," Willie Glenn said. A 36-year-old man has since been arrested. Police have not identified him. "There's something wrong with the sandwich that made him so upset that he decided to take his anger out on the two employees here." Atlanta police officer said that this was a case of someone with a gun who didn't know how to resolve conflict without resorting to violence. Jones talked to Statham's uncle, who said her son witnessed his mother get shot and that she is doing all right. Glenn said it breaks his heart. "It just breaks my heart to know that someone has the audacity to point a weapon and shoot someone for as little as too much mayonnaise on a sandwich," said Glenn. The store's other co-owner, Al Bailey, said no one deserves to get shot over something so trivial.
"Everybody's packing," Bailey said. "What sense does it make? They want to dummy this society down."
He wouldn't release the identity of the worker who was killed because he's still waiting for family members to be informed, but he said both employees were young women who had just started at the location about 3 weeks ago.
"They were just model employees," Glenn said.
Glenn said the shooter had been in the store before. Interim Chief of Police Darren Shirebaum said arguments are the majority cause of homicides in 2022. Buckle my shoe. "An argument leads to someone picking up a weapon and firing that gun, leaving someone dead or someone critically injured," Shirebaum said. He also feels that people should talk more and use guns less
when it comes to handling disputes. We need individuals to talk out their disputes, walk away, and do not pick up guns. We can take down drug operations that breed violent crime. We can dismantle gang organizations that breed violent crime. We can stop robbery crews that breed violent crime. We cannot stop someone who is mad because there is too much mayonnaise on the sandwich. And that does it for breaking news. It's not unusual, you want to be loved
by anyone. Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy is back from his hunt for the elusive wolf spider. There's this little flood wall outside of town. I think I've talked about it before. It's like a little park. You can go out and walk for like 2 miles. It's like a 2 mile track you can walk on. I used to walk all the time down there. I would walk like 6 miles a day, 2 or 3 times a day, like that, and go in there. And that's before I had a life. I don't have time for such things now, and I'm old and out of shape now, as mentioned earlier. Need to get back into walking. But yeah, I was down there one day. It was getting kind of dark out, and I met this lady who was on her way back to her car. I was just getting started with my walk, and it was getting dark. She said, "Are you going to look for the wolf spider?" And I said, "Huh?" She kind of chuckled and said, "Yes, you got to be on the lookout for the wolf spider." I was like, "Okay, I'll watch." And Jimmy has been out looking for the wolf spider, so exciting times. And now here is your Nicolas Cage Meltdown of the Week.
Put the bunny back in the box.
I knew you was a punk, and I was right. You've been playing us all along. You a free man.
I said, put the bunny back in the box. Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
Connor. Nice meltdown. This episode of In Dark Places is sponsored in part by Paracon 2. Connecticut's first and original paranormal convention returns to the haunted Ansonia Armory, 10 North State Street, Ansonia, Connecticut, for 2 days only, Saturday and Sunday, July 16th and 17th, 2022. Doors open at 11 a.m. daily for general admission. Last year's event sold out, so get your tickets now at paracon.ticketleap.com/paracon2. And that's Paracon with two N's, like Para Connecticut. See what they did there? The weekend event will feature special guests, paranormal investigators, lecturers, entertainment, and other special events. 80 great vendors include psychics, card readers, mediums, horror memorabilia, clothing, crafts, booksellers, movie merch, and much more. Food trucks and surprises, free parking. $14.99 admission, 11 to 6. Optional limited VIP admission for $19.99 allows early entry at 10 a.m. with first access to vendors, preferred parking, and up-close seating for stage events. For more information, call 203-795-4737. That number again, 203-795-4737. Or email ctparacon@gmail.com. Produced and hosted by Nick Grossman of Ghost Storm and Charles Rosenay of Tours of Terror. Featuring Jimmy Haunted, and our buddy Dylan Gray is going to be there. So if you're in the area, go check him out. Paracon 2. Back on episode 42, we did an episode on Ouija boards. I had a few stories left over from that episode that I've been sitting on for a while, and we found a couple news stories to add to it, so we're doing another Ouija board episode this week. So turn your lights down, where applicable. Only did it once when I was like 17, in a room full of people, and one kid said something like, "I need proof." And before he finished the word proof, the lights in the entire house went off. If that was a coincidence, it was the oddest one I've ever seen. No one else was in the house, and the fuse box was buried in the back of the closet. The kid's dad had to come home and turn it back on. Said it never happened before. The entire circuit tripped. I always thought these things were BS. However, years ago, this changed when I did it once with some random people at a get-together. We were talking to all sorts of different spirits, and I wasn't taking any of it seriously. And then I thought of a way to put this to the test. I'm Kuwaiti American and was born in Kuwait, so I know Arabic. Knew of a friend of my brother that passed away recently, so I asked to speak with him. And now only one person knew me at this get-together, and even then didn't know that much about me. I was definitely the only one who could speak Arabic. I was in Oklahoma at the time. So I asked in Arabic how he died, and the board spelled out car crash. I was a bit shocked, but still didn't buy it completely. So I asked a more detailed question. I asked in Arabic, how old was he when he died? And it pointed to 1 and then 3. And that's when I really started freaking out. No one would have known of these details, let alone understood what I was asking. I asked for more details on the crash, and after that I stopped. I haven't touched a Ouija board since.
Here's a quick Ouija board story for you. When I was about 16, I found an old-school Ouija board at a thrift store. It was made of real wood, not paper like they are now. It was thin, but still wood. I was intrigued with it, so I took it home. Me and my friend were playing with it, but nothing was happening, so we just gave it up, left it on the bed, and went out for snacks. There was no window open, no random draft, no AC on at the time, no fan, nothing that could have caused this. But when we came back with snacks and pop, that board was working on its own. The planchette was traveling all over the board, and the word it was spelling out was foul, F-O-U-L. For a minute, we just stood there and watched it, spelling out that word, several times. Then my friend scooped it up and broke it. We then covered it with salt and got rid of it in a safe place.
Let's go. That's spooky.
This is a story from our friend Michelle. Two teens and a Ouija board. I was 17 when my friend Danny approached me saying she got a Ouija board and wanted to try it out. She said, "You have experience with spooky stuff, so I wanted you to come and play the game with me." I told her this is not something you play with, but I would join her nonetheless to make sure she's at least safe. We met up and I told her the rules to follow. Never use the board alone. Don't use it in a home. Be respectful. Never ask about religion or death. Never remove your fingers until you've closed the connection, no matter what. And always close the connection when finished. She unpacked the board and started our session. Through questions, we determined the spirit we were talking to was a gentleman buried in a cemetery close by. After an hour, we asked to leave the session and was told no. I was starting to feel uneasy after my friend had the brilliant idea to ask, "If you let us go, we will bring a cookie to your tombstone." The spirit agreed. We closed the session, and I asked, "When are we meeting in the morning to bring a cookie to the tombstone?" She said, "I'm not looking around a cemetery all day to leave a cookie for some dead guy." And then she left. Well, I'm not keen on getting this guy attached to me, so the next morning, I got a free sample of cookies from the store and headed to the cemetery. It only took me about an hour to find the correct tombstone, and I left the cookies. A week later, my friend calls me. "I think I really messed up. Can you come over?" I get to her house, and I instantly know why I was asked over. Her warm family home now had a heavy feeling. Like, I put on a weighted vest. I told her she should have taken the cookie to the gravesite. I guess this guy was serious about his cookies. We left and went to the store and got more cookies and left them at the tombstone. After that, there was no longer the heavy feeling in her house, and she felt comfortable again. That is, until she decided to use the Ouija board in her house months later, alone. By that time, I had moved and couldn't be there to help her, but told her about someone I knew that could. She's fine now, but won't go near Ouija boards. From what she told me, a cleansing was done on the house, and when holy water was poured on the board, it sizzled like putting out a fire. Glad I wasn't there on that one. Wow, thank you, Michelle. Dude liked his cookies. It's pretty creepy it sizzled like that, too. Wow. My girlfriend told me this story about an experience she had with a Ouija board while in high school, sometime in 1986. She had a friend named Johnny who was suffering from CF, or some other debilitating illness, who had recently been hospitalized as a result. Both she and her friend Shelley visited Johnny regularly in the hopes of keeping his spirits up and for a quick recovery. One night after visiting Johnny, they were at Shelley's when they decided to try out a Ouija board. After a while, they started communicating with a spirit who seemed to know a lot about them that it really shouldn't. After some banal questions about boys and general questions one would expect teenage girls to ask, my girlfriend decided to ask about Johnny and his condition. The board quickly spelled out the 24th of June, 1987. Johnny won't have to worry anymore, and went to goodbye. My girlfriend and Shelley were so convinced that the board was giving them a date for recovery that they actually wrote the message down and sealed it in an envelope. The following year, on the 24th of June, it turned out that Johnny indeed no longer needed to worry about his condition. It was the day he died. Hey, wait a minute. I'm being told we have more breaking news.
Whoa. Maybe not this house. Father says mother who stabbed three children was a good mom. This is out of Paulding County, Georgia. Three children are dead after a woman tried stabbing her seven kids while their house was on fire. Imagine the scene. Darlene Brister, 40, is facing malice murder charges after Pauling County investigators received a report of house fire where a woman inside was allegedly attacking and stabbing her children. The 911 caller said that a woman inside the house was trying to stab the people inside and the house was also on fire. When investigators arrived, they found seven children in the house. Deputies say two of the children, a five-month-old and a three-year-old, were pronounced dead on the scene. The 3-year-old had suffered multiple stab wounds. 3 more children, ages 5, 9, and 11, were taken to local hospitals for their injuries. The 5-year-old has since died from their injuries. The 9-year-old remains in critical but stable condition. The 2 remaining children, 14 and 16, did not appear to have any injuries. Darlene Brister was denied bond on Monday, and the judge said that she will be facing additional charges. Channel 2's Michelle Newell talked to Ricky Brister, who was the children's father. He said he had been married to Darlene Brister for 17 years and thought she was a good mom, but suffered from depression. No, she's a bad mom and suffered from depression. I'm hurting, Brister said. He didn't want to talk about her struggles with depression. I don't want to get into that kind of stuff because that kind of stuff leads to other stuff, Brister said. Brister said the surviving children are now homeless and living out of a hotel. Channel 2's Elizabeth Rollins spoke to neighbors who witnessed the chaotic and tragic scene unfold on Woodwind Drive late Friday night. 3 lives are gone, said neighbor Edward Swinger. I walked out the door and could see the fire in the house, said Willie Hayes, neighbor. They bring the kids out dead and she is still hiding in the house. It's pitiful. Wow. Crazy. Another crazy story out of Georgia, which is, in second place now to Florida with crazy stories.
Thank you, Jimmy. Crazy stuff. What's in the water in Georgia? This is not a game anymore. Perfect story, 100% true. About 15 years ago, my sister had some friends over one night. They were in the basement watching some scary movie. They had a Ouija board, and they started cussing it, and it stopped responding, so they began watching a movie instead. All of a sudden, all the lights and electricity goes out. They start screaming, and the TV comes on, all static, and is blaring noise. They were yelling and crying, and then the TV shut off and came back on, to just a black screen. The words, "This is not a game anymore," roll across the screen, and all white. After that, the TV shuts off, and they are in complete darkness. And they ran out of the house. Afterward, they go back to the house, and our dog hid. And when they found it, all it did was bark and look very angry at them. This one time at band camp, a girl brought her authentic Ouija board made out of maple, straight from Salem. Ironically, she was very Catholic, but loved her board. And it was a very interesting few nights in the dorm with it. I think the second night we were playing with it, and it was going slow, not much movement. I had my hand off the planchette because I still wasn't so sure about the thing. Suddenly, it was like cold fingers grabbed into my shoulders ever so slightly, and this terrible feeling in the back of my mind just came to the surface. I looked to the board and the planchette started moving in a demonic pattern. I think figure eights this time. I looked at the girl and said, "I have a bad feeling about that," in time for her to realize what was happening. She stopped the movement and bid the spirit goodbye. In that moment, the icy grip loosened and all was well. Everyone was like, "Whoa," when the girl explained that the figure eight meant that something was trying to get out of the board. This is common lore that goes with Ouija usage. And I seem to remember that happening to me one time. We were playing with a Ouija board. That one that my sister didn't throw into a dumpster and didn't burn and all that stuff. We were playing with that Ouija board and I seem to remember that figure eight thing. That sounds familiar. Weird. At a later time, we were playing in someone else's room when asked for the name of whoever we were talking to. Zelda Ann. Something came through. We got to talking to her, and we found out she was a young widow whose husband died in a war. She died at the age of 80. I remembered the name, and a few years later, on a trip to Salem, where the board was made, we went past some old houses with the historical plaques that said the original owners and the year they were built. Well, on one of those houses was the name Z and Nancy. I got pretty excited. That was really cool. And I won't forget that coincidence. My older sister went to a sleepover at a friend's home. There were several girls there. This family had a Ouija board. The girls started playing with it, asking questions, etc. And the parents went out to go pick up some pizzas they had ordered for the sleepover. Anyway, the board, via moving the letters, spelled out for them to come upstairs. They told it no, speaking to it, because it was dark up there and the parents weren't home. It kept telling them to any question it asked for them to come upstairs. This went on for several minutes, and the girls saying no and telling it to answer the questions they were asking it. I guess whatever spirit was controlling that board got really mad, because the girls and my older sister said that the bedrooms and bathroom doors upstairs started slamming, and they were all properly open, and no, the furnace wouldn't have blown them closed. And now the girls are freaking out. Next, the front door opens, and the girls start screaming. Luckily, it's the parents of the girl back with the pizzas they went to go pick up. The parents ask the girls what the screaming was about, and the girls tell them. The dad says, "That's it. It'll get thrown out with the trash tomorrow." Yet, the story doesn't end there. So the dad boxes the thing up and puts it in a gun safe that he has and locks it up for the night. The next day, the parents take the board out and actually hand it to the trash man when he pulls up to empty their trash can. The girls see this as they haven't left yet to come to their own homes after the sleepover. So now nothing. And then Sunday rolls around. And guess what? The family tells us that later that day they saw the board back in the locked gun cabinet. So while the dad went to get his key to open it and take it out, it goes somewhere else in the home by itself. He comes to the gun cabinet and it's not there, but the gun cabinet is still locked. He opens up the cabinet. It's one of those that has some glass in the front of it so you can see in it. To look around a bit. Nope, it's not there. So he says to the family, "I guess we just imagined." So later that day, his wife starts cleaning out some closets to give clothes away that they don't wear anymore, etc. And she finds it in one of the closets. She calls her husband, and he said, "We'll burn the thing." And now they are on the ground floor of their home, and the doors start slamming upstairs again. So they take it outside and lit it on fire. So that's kind of like the story that my sister didn't really have. Kinda. And that's about all the creepy Ouija board stories we have for you. Thanks again to Michelle Allen for another cool story. And thanks as always to Jimmy Haunted. If you've got a true scary story to tell and you'd like to be a guest on the show, send an email to indarkplacespod@hotmail.com. God bless you. See ya!